for joining us for this week's chapter of Not in the Textbooks podcast, where we sit and chat about the nitty-gritty never discussed in any of your textbooks. I'm Tanja.
And I'm Audra.
But before we dig into today's chapter, let's clear up some business.
This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views within are our own or are our guests' own. They do not reflect our profession, their profession, or any entity with whom we may have connections for employment now, in the past, or even in the future. If you need medical attention, advice, or care, please seek your own personal medical practitioner, not our podcast.
We hope you enjoy.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Good.
Yeah, I'm super fantastic, I should say. People expect it.
There you go.
So it has officially been 2 weeks since we recorded last. Today is, just a second. I got some strange things going on here.
Are my teeth blinding you?
They are beautifully white. Yes, they look great.
Thank you. That's Dr. Matt's 5-hour job. It was a 4-hour appointment, but because Dr. Matt Guffey is so much a perfectionist, it went an hour over.
I love it.
I love him. I mean, you know, like a dentist, you know, patient kind of way, because he's gotten me so far. Because, you know, I have childhood scars from Dr. Ritz in Trenton, Missouri. I mean, he passed away many, many years ago, but I always wondered why they donated and put his name on a building. Are you kidding? That man was a mean old man. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't know what I was saying. Today's 5/28/22. That's what I was saying. And it's been a couple of weeks since we have recorded. So hit me with your good, bad, and ugly. How was your trip?
Okay. So my good was that, you know, yes, I went last week to my nephew. Well, I call him my nephew. He's actually my cousin's child, teenage kid, graduate. So he graduated from high school. Bryson. Oh my gosh, I love that kid. He is such a good kid, guy, young man. Yep. Young man. For some of the things that he's been dealt, he's a good young man. Anyway, so he graduated, so it was wonderful to get around family. A couple of my cousins I haven't seen since my Uncle Gary's funeral. So that's been a few years. So it's always good to see them and get together. And that was the first time that Lonnie, my husband, had actually met Wendy and Saxon. In case they're listening.
Yes.
Hello. So that was good. The bad. Okay, so the bad was that it had been a minute since I had taken my grandsons on a road trip.
Mm.
Okay, and let's remember that Oliver and Xavier are 6 and 5, getting ready to turn 6 and 7, going on about 15.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a trip. Yep. The ugly was that I was reminded what it was like to be in a vehicle trapped with them for 7 hours, and how many fights they can happen for what they fight about. It was silly, crazy. Anyway, I another good kind of bad double-edged thing, you know, because it comes with
Sure.
a pow of emotion. I my brother did not was not able to make it to the graduation or the graduation party because of his work schedule. And but I was able to meet him afterwards, right before, because we left to come back to Oklahoma straight from the graduation. So we did go about 30 minutes out of our way so I could see my brother. And we did that so that I could finalize the last little bit of the probate estate for my mom.
Sure.
So I finished up all of that and was able to come home with a little bit more in my wallet than what I went to Missouri with. So that was
Sure.
another plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also, as I just stated, had a 5-hour dental appointment with a fabulous dentist, so he could finish, you know, my top teeth. He didn't have time to do the bottom, so that's a another appointment in July. So I'm pretty much thinking that's my good, bad, and ugly until really I get to something I want to discuss. So tell me what your good, bad, and ugly has been, my dear friend.
My good is after a couple of months of prepping to get there, and yeah,
Oh,
mo
oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah, I had my surgery, which was also the ugly and the bad.
Woo, woo, woo,
Yay!
woo,
I had these,
Oh, I have something else. Carry on, though.
I have these horrific, wounds on my belly, and my poor son was like, "Oh no, they hurt you!" He was so upset when I got back. He was so upset.
Right, yeah, aw.
And so, but it went. I couldn't have asked it to go any better than it did. I had a nurse anesthetist, and he said, "I'm going to be your bartender for this ride. I'm giving you some Pepcid and some Versed." As we were leaving pre-op,
Good man, good man, good
and
man.
we went around the corner about 100 feet, and around another corner about another 50 feet, and then turned to go into the OR. By the time he turned, I always have this thing of like, why isn't the Versed kicking in? How come I can remember? Oh shit, there
How
it
do I
is.
know?
Like I remember,
How
I
do
know
I
I'm
know
gonna,
when it's
I'm.
gonna hit me?
And as soon as we turned to go into the OR, I remember nothing, nothing. Now I
Like,
know you and I
whoa,
both know
boom.
as medical professionals that I was probably singing, "Hey bartender." I mean, God
Hey,
knows.
bartender.
I mean, Lord knows what I said to these people, what I was like.
You know, I
I was
wish there
a
was a recording because I'm sure that for what I do, how mine goes, oh, I'm sure. I'm positive yours was.
So we turn the corner to go into the OR, and they open those doors, and I went, "Oh, there it is. Bye, guys." And that was it.
Boom, that
And
was it.
that was all I remember. But the thing about Versed is it's conscious sedation. So you're still awake, you're still
You're
talking.
still awake, you're still talking.
You can move. I don't recall going from one that transport
No,
bed to the operating table.
no,
I know I did it
no.
because they did the
You know, you did
operation.
it.
I helped them. I said words. I know I did. I know I embarrassed
Yes.
myself. I God knows.
You know that if you knew that moment occurred, that yes, you would want to just sink into the floor. And I so wish that we actually had that recorded. I really do. Just
Sometimes I
because.
do, and sometimes I don't. I distinctly remember an EGD where I was reading a book about this woman who had been kidnapped and turned into a sex slave and was being put in a box in the floor.
And they put and they used to put a gag ball in her and put her in this box. And I was just like, oh, my God, I can't imagine having that in my mouth this whole time. It was just a horrific vision for me of being trapped in a box on the floor. Mm-hmm. So they came at me and they said, here's your bite block. Put this in your mouth. And I remember thinking, don't
put, no.
I hope you guys don't put me, like, thinking, I hope y'all don't put me in a box in the floor. And then
chances are you probably said that out loud.
I'm pretty
sure. At least a portion of it somehow. You know you did, Audrey. You know.
I know.
You know some form of that came. Am I going into the box now? Are you hiding me in there? Some form of that thought came from your brain to your mouth because you were. You were the person that has you too relaxed. It's almost like a truth serum in a way because you're so relaxed that whatever's up here comes out through there.
It's just going to come flying out of my mouth.
Yes, because when I had my EGD at that hospital, I just knew they had the best taste in Shasta I had ever had. And I was begging. I was begging them to know where they bought that Shasta from because I had to go there to buy it. And I was trying to get Lonnie in on it to like, hey,
taste
could
this
you
is the best Shasta
listen,
ever.
Could, and I did. That's exactly what I was doing. Here, hon, you've got to taste this. No, seriously, taste it. No, taste it.
It's
here,
different.
Taste it. Literally
it's different
like
kind
putting
of Shasta.
The straw to his mouth. And I remember watching it like it was some crazy video that I just couldn't believe that this was the best tasting Shasta. And I had to have an EEG upper and lower, at one time to get this fabulous Shasta.
Anyway, I'm just saying they're hell of Versed's a hell of a drug.
My dad used to call it the happy juice.
Jeez, man,
it's happy juice.
Yeah, like I said, he was like, "Oh, I'm your bartender," and that started going through my head. And then when I woke up, I was like, "I'm pretty sure at some point I was singing, hey, bartender.' Pretty sure it happened." Probably yep. Really badly.
You know it did. You know it did. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Yes.
God help me. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I have these holes in my stomach. They gave me Lovenox, which burned like the dickens. I didn't realize how bad afterwards.
I heard
it's a sub-Q shot, so it's subcutaneous, just goes right underneath the skin. It's a tiny little needle, doesn't really, you don't even feel the needle, it doesn't
bullshit,
really.
Bullshit, whatever. Anyway, there's
okay,
no way you put a needle through your skin and you don't feel anything.
I didn't really feel the needle, but it didn't hurt. Until a
sure
few minutes later, a few minutes later, and then I feel this medicine like oozing into the, and I'm like, burned like hell and fire. And I was like, God, this is going to bruise the shit out of me. In that, like I could outline almost in my head where it was
going
to burn.
Like
cause
where
I could
it was
feel
going
it,
and
where it was going to bruise, like based off the burn. And it did. It did. Oh, it looked like someone beat the hell out of my stomach.
Oh, it bruises bad, doesn't
so
it? Isn't
bad.
That weird? Isn't that weird?
My entire quadrant where they did that was bruised. The entire quadrant of my stomach.
Does it bruise worse? I mean, does it burn worse than Rocephin? Because Rocephin for me burns like a mother.
Okay.
I don't care. You can't put enough lidocaine in that for it.
Well, lidocaine itself fucking burns. I'm sorry.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So, but I can't. I'm allergic to penicillin, so I can't take Rocephin. So
I can't
take
Rocephin.
I can't answer that question.
Oh, and for those who do not know who are listening, Rocephin is an antibiotic. And it does not come in pill form. It's given IV or IM.
Yep. Intermuscular or IV.
And it
IV.
Burn. Oh, yeah. IM means intermuscular in your muscle, like your deltoid, your buttock, which is your glute. Yeah. It burns bad.
And usually we mix it from a powder form
You reconstitute it.
Yep, with a little bit of lidocaine to numb it.
It doesn't.
No, no. I've almost gotten cold cocked multiple times given Rocephin injections. But yeah, it works like a champ. Mm-hmm. It's a broad spectrum antibiotic. And if you're really super sick, it's a great drug to use.
It's a great broad spectrum. Yes,
it is. Yes. But it would kill me, so no, thank you. I would pass on that. It's not worth it.
And I do not like needles. That was the hardest thing for me to get past in nursing school. And I even had, I'm sure I've said this before, had an old nurse that I worked with when I was a CNA going through school that let me, crazy ass man, but man, he was a fabulous nurse. He used to let me give him injections of saline, draw blood on him, start IVs, you name it. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
That. No, it's
just
okay.
To help me
Lovenox.
Get through that. Yes.
Lovenox is a blood thinner because if you have a surgery, and they're going in and then you're going to be immobile for a period of time.
For a period of time, slowed down. Your activity's going to be way less. You're more sedentary than normal.
Right. Then you have a risk of throwing clots, blood clots, especially when they've cut things open and, you know, messed with blood vessels and things like that. So it messes with your circulation, the anesthesia, and just laying still for that long.
And a blood clot is what? I know what it is.
I think everybody knows when you have a pool of blood that clots together, where it coagulates together. Mm-hmm. And if it gets into your vein, it can cause a deep vein thrombosis. You can throw a clot, meaning it can
it moves.
It gets dislodged in that vein and it travels. It can travel to your brain and cause an embolic stroke. Or it can travel to your lung and cause a pulmonary embolism. None of those things are good. None of those things are things that you want. So I got lovely scud boots. You know, I got the scuds put on me, which are these lovely air pressure leg things that they plug up to a pump. And it
I was going to say they plug up to a pump. Yep.
They compress and contract to keep the appearance of circulation moving while they slow everything else down. You know, they just
while you're
stop
stuck
everything.
Laying in bed. Yeah.
Well, when they sedate you, they shut everything down. Your brain fucking is like, never mind. Your heart's like, we have to?
Reset.
Yeah. So everything kind of screeches to a halt and, you know, you get constipated, you get blood clots. There's
That's
all kinds
why
of complications.
There's such risks. That's why there's such risks
with major
any
surgeries.
Even a minor surgery where they are putting you
under
in any kind of sedation, there is always a risk that they will slow you down to the point that they will not be able to get you back to where you started from, which is life and death.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or permanent disability, which is never what anybody wants to sign up for.
Nobody wants that.
No. So I've had the first day I was extraordinarily high. My father and my daughter both thought it was hysterical.
Did they tape it? Did they video record it?
No,
but it
did go something like, "Hi, I'm fine. I'm in my room now. I'm going to go for a walk soon." Like I was high as a
fucking
kite.
Yeah, like you were high as a kite.
And my friend was there, who's a nurse, Tammy, thank God. And she was like, "Let's go, we're walking." And I'm like, I was out of it. I was so fucking out of it. But the best thing that you can do is get up and move.
Get up and move. You've got to move that stuff out. Get it out of your system. Go.
Breathe it out. Because, again, because you're slowed down, you're not breathing as deeply. So you run the risk of getting pneumonia. You know, it's all these risks that you know. You're like, I know she's getting me out of the bed to move me to get the shit out of my system. Plus,
but you're
fighting
it. You do not
want
to move.
Oh, my brain was like, bullshit.
Every muscle that it was going to take to move has now been traumatized by the procedure that you just went through.
Yeah.
And your body's like, I know I have to, but screw you, because we're not going to do it.
I just want to lay here and sleep for the next week.
And just sleep.
You know, which would be the worst thing for you.
Worst thing. Worst thing.
No, you got to get the circulation going so that you can get the anesthesia pushed out of your system. Also, so that you can get the circulation moving. And it helps with the pain, people. I know I had an abdominal surgery, and the idea of walking and having to use core muscles to hold yourself up. Had an IV pump. You hold on to the bitch. Like,
this is where there is no pain, there's no gain. This is where that also fits in. And as sad as it is, as sucky as it is, because I've had some procedures and I have an appointment for a consultation for my next procedure. And I am so ecstatic. But anyway, no pain, no gain. You have to get up. You have to move around no matter how painful it is. That's the only way
to get better, make the pain stop.
Make the progress. Yes. Yeah.
And I got up and I walked down the hall, 100 feet maybe, you know, like it wasn't far. And I was like, yeah, I'm dizzy. I'm done. And then we were coming back in and I was like, I don't like this. I don't like that. That's all I kept saying I don't like this. I couldn't really, I was out of it. I was out of it.
You're still not in control, and you're feeling yourself try to get control, but yet then part of yourself is still trying to not be able to have any kind of help in getting control. And it's those two beasts fighting each other.
Exactly. And I'm pain management certified, and I have a chronic pain condition. And so in those situations, I know that my pain level lies to me a lot. You know, it will.
Most definitely.
And I've done a lot of work to create different coping mechanisms to manage my pain besides taking meds. They knock me out. It's counterproductive.
I tell my pain management doctor, listen, I'm lucky to remember to take my vitamin in the morning. Yes, with it sitting right in front of where right next to where I grab my toothbrush. I do not like taking pills. I think there are other ways, because we don't know always what the side effects are for 10, 20, 30 years down the road.
Right. And so I would take about 2, maybe 3 doses of pain medicine during the day. Now I could have it every 4 hours, which means I could take it 6 times a day. I took it about half that much. They're like, rate your pain. I'm like, it hurts fucking bad enough for me to call you for pain medicine. That 0 to 10 scale is so stupid.
So stupid.
Hey, Mom. 1 second.
I think the thing in the Instant Pot's ready.
Well, if you'd like some, you can have it. He's already eaten dinner, but he's going to, like a hobbit. You did. I'm eating a shake for dinner.
Okay,
so.
But he is a growing teenage boy.
That's what I have. I can't eat. Remember, he's a hobbit. He's going to have second dinner.
Of course, he's a teenage boy.
He is, and so with a very very fantastic metabolism, and we're all going to get to hear it.
Dropped it.
It's fine. You're fine. You can pick it up and clean it. So. Yeah.
Hey, Mom?
Yes, would you like to speak to the people?
Tanja, I'll be going to Camp Takani next week because I have...
You have camp Monday through Friday, yeah?
Yeah.
I am so excited for you, and I cannot wait for you to come home so I can hear the stories about it.
You'll tell us all next week about how camp was, won't you?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Yes, very.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Go on. Sweet love. So, anyway, I had some pain, but it wasn't. It hurt. I'm not gonna lie. You know, they punched.
Well, duh, how
six
could it
holes
not?
In me. They punched 6 holes in my stomach. and cut things out and move things around. Right. So yeah, it hurt.
But isn't it great though? Isn't it great that they can now do that mm-hmm. by puncturing 6 holes in you rather than having to cut you from sternum to woohoo?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's your green light.
Mm.
See, 100%. I still go back to Matthew McConaughey.
Absolutely. Mm. And so anyway, it appears based on the numbers and stuff that we have so far, that it worked. So it's looking like primo great.
That's good.
That's
very good.
Yeah. Yeah. I have follow-up appointments coming up. I got to make them. But now
you have the follow-up appointments here rather correct. Than having to go all the way there.
Right. And video.
Thing about the surgery. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Video. Yes, I can do video visits, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was really my good, bad, and ugly kind of all in a nutshell is I had surgery. The pain was not great, but, you know, my friend got me up and was like, let's walk, let's go, let's go. And it was 2, 3, 4 times a day getting up, walking yeah. farther each time. Then I was able to get up by myself. Like, they pretty much just let me go to the bathroom
here,
by myself.
Here you go. Get up now and you move on your own. If you need us, you call us.
You just meant
the
good, the bad, and the so ugly.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. So it was good to get it over with. I've been off this week, stuck in the house. So that's been...
Now, how long do you have to be off?
Technically, I can start driving now because I'm not taking pain medicine. Anymore. I can just take Tylenol and move, mm-hmm. move. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Right.
Because the pains, I finally slept on my stomach yesterday and it was like glorious. I was like, oh, for a little bit. I couldn't do it the whole night, but I could do a little bit.
A little bit. Right.
And, so I'm working from home next week.
Come on, let's go.
Oh, we got to let Dob out.
Well, I thought he barks like he wanted out, but it's like taking him forever.
I see him. There he goes.
Come on, old man. He's starting to move so slow.
Yeah. And so I'll work from home next week and then I can go back to the office. I think the week after that, it just depends on how I feel. But so far, knock wood, things are progressing well. I've been out walking in the neighborhood if it hasn't been freaking raining. And I'm the real ugly is that I'm tired of my liquid diet officially. It's been almost a month. But yeah. it's you know, it's coming to an end soon. So yeah. it'll be over this week and then I can start moving to soft and pureed foods.
One of us froze.
Yeah, I can still hear you. Yep.
Good. Well, good. I'm glad that things went well and you're feeling so much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did think of another good. Lonnie and I have been out today. We've looked at 2 more houses.
Yeah.
I'm still learning. I saw a house today that for that price tag, it doesn't matter what any price tag. I mean, people are actually selling homes with like no doorknobs indoors. When I got to the laundry room, there was like a big hole punched in it, the door. And I was like, is this take as is? I'm like,
it's crazy.
So confused. We have 2 more we're going to look at tomorrow, which thank goodness I can't believe that realtors, yeah, they're actually working during this holiday weekend.
Of course, like crazy.
It's crazy, but I mean, yay for us. So we've got two more to look at tomorrow. Mm-hmm. One today I was really, really interested in. So it's in Shawnee, mm-hmm. but band freaking tabulous deal. I'm just and out. I like all of the outside. We're just waiting to confirm an inside view on that one. So that was the third one. I'm interested in both tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They're closer, and I think we may have found an actual realtor that has made me feel comfortable mm-hmm. and been able to tolerate and work with my just blatant you're out of your fucking mind.
Right.
Personality, you
right.
know?
Right.
Where I can't hold back. It's just blatant vomit of the truth. I did hear something that almost was a deal breaker for me. I was, the statement, something about if, like, Lonnie and I doing most of the footwork on our own, where we're finding these houses and then we drive by and look, and then we contact the person like it's listed with or the place online it was listed with.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing all the footwork on our own. Well, I was told today that doing that a lot causes realtors to feel like, oh, and if the realtor is listening, I'm so sorry. Please don't be offended that I'm talking about this on my podcast. But once you know I have a podcast with my friend, it's gloves off. You should just know there's a chance that
anything you say or do, you might be mentioned. Yeah,
exactly. And I was told that doing that very much makes realtors feel like they are just a showing service.
Right. What
you.
Are they there for? Yeah. If they're not finding the listings. But the one that you and, had before
no.
never
immediately,
found.
Immediately I said, whoa, hold up. Let me just, I just need to let you know what I'm hearing, okay, to make sure that I'm not misunderstanding, because I'm not really liking the statement you just made. So a realtor, that is what they do. They show houses. It's a service trying to sell
no, but they're supposed
a house
to.
And you have to show houses in order to sell one.
Right.
And sometimes realtors show you 5, 10, 12, whatever number houses. So what is that? That's a showing mother flipping service.
It's part of their service, but that's not the only part of their service. They're supposed to, realtors are supposed to go headhunt those listings
okay.
for you. But the first person that you had didn't do that at all.
Guess what? So when this lady said, when she said, I said, so please tell me if I'm wrong, because that I just really didn't like that statement. And she said, well, first I want to tell you, you know, I thank you for your honesty, and no, that's not what I was saying. So once she broke it down for me, hello, we're new to this, you know, mm-hmm. never bought a home before. We're late bloomers. she was explaining the big picture to me that, which I already know from when we very first started doing all this, what, over a year ago, that when you work with a specific realtor or realtor company, they will be able to tell you how many offers are on the table, if there are multiple offers, what the top offer is, so you know where you even need to start at. They can also give you specifics on disclaimers and things. If you're just picking a bunch of realtors off of Zillow, and you've got this realtor who shows you this house over here, and you've got that realtor who shows you that house over there, and on and on and on, those realtors aren't the listing realtor, nor do they work with the listing realty company. So therefore, they can't answer those questions because they're really not part of the game. They're just a third party.
Right.
So once she explained it, I said, oh, okay, well, I understand the big picture, but maybe, like a good realtor, maybe when they show me this house and they're asking what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling, what I like, what I don't, they should then say, when I ask, do you have a business card? Because obviously I'm wanting the business card because I'm probably going to want to use it later to call you to see if I can see this other house or whatever. So I think, just my own thoughts and opinions, I have a long list of them, that a good realtor would say, oh, yes, here you go. And I would love to sit down with you and hear what it is you're really wanting and looking for, because I would love to work with you to show you other properties that I may know could be what you're looking for. Right? Is that too much to ask for?
Nope.
Okay. Well, obviously it was up until this realtor, who wasn't even the realtor who was showing the house, as it was her assistants.
Love it.
She called twice and to make, and she said all of these other ways that even with our work schedule, I had no clue that you could do a Zoom.
Like a virtual walkthrough.
Like the realtor goes and does the virtual walkthrough and you say, oh, wait, could you back up and open that back up again and let me see that? And then if you don't like what you see, okay, we don't waste your time driving to that house or leaving work early to go and see it. Or there are apps that you can get on and a realtor can send you stuff and you see things that just online Googling
aren't even there.
And that is great. So like, let's say there's a house that fits your bill or close to it. The realtor can tell you about it. If they think, you know, hey, there's going to be multiple offers, we need to jump on this. Then yes, you can take a quick break. Even if you're at work, step into the bathroom.
Hang on one second. Honey, yes. Just stir it. Just stir it up and then get you a spoonful. Yeah. Cup or a bowl or whatever.
And you could take a quick break, step into your office if you have an office. I would step into an empty patient or resident room. Sorry, I would. I am that girl. Or take a bathroom break and you can go in and look at these houses to say, yes, I want to come look at this. This really looks like a lot of potential, blah, blah, blah. Never, ever have I had anyone tell me that those were options now. So this realtor did make me feel the most comfortable and at ease
with the process
right now, with the process and how we can go from here to the point.
She just took a whole lot of work off of your hands that you were doing. Like, she took
and
the work.
stress and weight. Yes. And she's even going to contact the realtor that is showing us the house, a house tomorrow. She's going to see if he can get access to the other house at, it's in Oklahoma City limits, because then there's Choctaw Guthrie. Yeah, I think that one is in Oklahoma City limits too. So, yeah, I think that's like big, huge. Yeah, so our first date, as she calls it, goes well. So I told her she did very good. She has her second date.
Mm-hmm.
And right now she's just kind of courting us.
Absolutely.
And that's how she talks about it and says it. And she just, I liked the vibe that I'm getting from her just over the phone.
Yeah.
did you have anything else? Cause I,
nope, go for it.
Lead into, something weird, that's kind of bothers me a bit in a way, and I'm not sure what way it bothers me. I mean, in a tugs at me way. Okay. Now, I am going to say a phrase that is really going to have the possibility to offend people, and I say this like that's the
first like that's shocking.
Ever happened.
Oh, that's never happened like, before.
Like what? Tanja, no. Okay. I feel that there is human trafficking in the geriatric population. And here's what I'm referring to. Well, let me back up a minute. Because, you know, I've got to walk you around the block just to walk you across the street. And it's a nice evening out. So let's take a stroll.
Okay.
Are you up for that?
I am.
Feel like you've got enough momentum to take a stroll?
Yep. Let's do it.
If you need to stop and sit down and take a rest break, by all means, just let me know.
Will do.
Okay, so, you know, I do wound rounds with a doctor.
Yes.
And we're talking about a certain couple of patients, okay? I'll probably end with the second one because it's the real tug at me. But thank goodness I hope is a light at the end of the second tunnel. But so we're doing wound rounds and we're talking about a particular patient and we're discussing that the discharge plan for this particular patient is to go to a certain type of facility, but yet that facility doesn't certain services that this patient needs for wound care. And we're discussing how this wound is a chronic wound. So it's not something that this patient has had this wound for greater than 120 days. And the wound doctor knows this because in the doctor's group that this doctor works with, another doctor saw this patient. Because when she went to log this patient in as a new patient, it came up on her screen. Patient information already recognized in the system. So click comes the patient's name. You click on it and poof, here opens all of the weekly visit notes.
Hmm.
For over 230 days. So no, this patient did not come from home to the hospital to us. This patient came from another facility, which actually brings up another thing that bothers me, is that the family of this patient was not truthful, neither was the hospital case manager.
And the hospital case manager may not have known because they may have just had the patient's family report to go off of.
True. You are correct there. Yes, you are correct. But typically then that means that the family would have had to take that person to the ER because if that person, our patient, went to that hospital through the ER from any facility, they would have shown up with some kind of identification from that facility, correct, most likely.
Correct.
So this patient came from another facility. Mm-hmm. And came from, how do I say this and maybe not get myself in trouble? Like I've never done that before. So came from a sister facility.
Okay.
So no. So how does our sister facility not know? I mean, how do we, when one facility admits a patient, how do you not know when you have a corporate liaison who filters every admission that comes in? How do you not know that this patient, by their same legal name, was just in another facility of yours and went to the hospital? So why didn't this said patient go back to the facility it came from rather than being sent through to a different facility? And that makes me feel like money laundering. Instead, it's people. Like where you're taking people and you're just, you're shifting.
But what difference would that make, though? Like, it's not going to impact payment or any of that stuff necessarily because, you know, it's all connected through the same billing department. Clearly, they haven't been able to clear it up in 200 and something days. So maybe they thought, let's send them to our better wound care team over here at this facility where they clear up wounds.
Oh, that totally makes sense then from what I was told. And I said, don't say that. That's stupid. No, it's true.
I mean, I'm just, as an outside observer, thinking maybe that's what they're doing.
That is what they, I totally looked at that totally wrong. Okay, so I am so apologetic that I used the word human trafficking, people trafficking.
Yeah.
Lord knows, I do not want to offend anyone intentionally.
Right.
I would not offend anyone intentionally. So
there
my
we are.
Intentions were good because I would think that if that's what if that's how something occurred, I would think that is wrong.
Right.
Just to like be shifting
around people
around.
But there are some times where
something that you've been having to deal with for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
No, bring someone else in, take a fresh set of eyes at it. But
yeah, we've said that before.
Doing.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of what that causes. There's enough that patient goes through, even if they are completely alert and orientated like you and I, except the majority of them usually
aren't.
But let's say even if they were, a trip from the facility to the hospital is traumatic enough. And then now they're going from the hospital that they were just starting to kind of get their bearings. Now they're going to a complete different place. So now they have a whole nother set of people to trust. No wonder some of them get whacked out, want to beat the shit out of us.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. And you put them in rooms that really most of them don't have windows or very little windows. And like
why is it that non-clinical people, that means people who are not out there on the floor providing patient care, why is it that non-clinical people who sit at desks in offices, usually behind doors, are making the decisions of who rooms with who? Why would you take someone who gets up and down all the time and who is a little confused? Why would you put that person in with someone who likes to sleep in?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't like the TV on, doesn't like a lot of noise, wants everything a certain way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you just set it up for problems.
There needs to be
collaboration
between the people who are in charge of moving residents and patients around to room them together. There needs to be a collaboration or a team that comes together and decides together with the nursing team, nursing personnel, nursing staff, to decide what patients get moved in with and roomed with who.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so...
Well, that one was not what you thought then, eh?
No, and thank you. That's one of the things that I feel so blessed to have, is one of the things that I truly feel so blessed about our friendship is that I can share something,
mm-hmm.
and you can show me a complete different way of thinking about it that shows me my way of thinking was not correct.
And the same, I think it's the same for both of
that
us.
But this time I got to see a complete different way of, oh, yeah, there's not just my way of thinking. It could be because of this.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of baked into anybody who's a friend of mine, is that I'm not going to just buy what you're telling me wholesale. Like, I will listen to you. I trust you. I believe what you're thinking is what you're thinking for a reason. And I'm going to listen to that reason. And I'm going to be like, yeah, I can understand where you're coming from. But that doesn't make sense, because how does that benefit? Okay, so then what about this? You know?
Yes. Right. But you are that friend rather than the friend that goes, yeah, I know. Isn't that weird? I wonder why that happens. And, you know, this one time I worked this place and this happened. And I wonder if, you know what I mean? You didn't.
I'm not going to go just down the rabbit hole to go down it. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Just because I'm headed in that direction. No, wait. There's this other way of thinking. There's this other way of going. There's this other way.
Yeah, we don't have to go down the rabbit hole. We can go
over
here.
Yeah,
it could be this.
Exactly.
And if it pans out, I mean, and
awesome.
I'm totally fine with, you know, you and I've talked about this before, where I'm like, no, but this could be it. And you're like, no, but listen. And I'm like, you're right. I understand that. I'm open to being wrong about that stuff, just like you.
But we know.
Right.
There's a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
Especially this new whippersnapper generation.
They just want to buy it wholesale. Just go right down the rabbit hole.
Just.
Like, where's the critical thinking, man?
Bless their hearts. How are they going to get their. Where's their problem solving? Yeah. Like, what the heck?
Stop.
Man?
Solving all of your children's problems.
Yeah.
I mean, we could solve, we could solve this assault rifle problem with a couple of quick fixes, but...
I'm also very... I don't understand how... What was recently in the news, I don't understand how... Again, here's something else that in 2022, are you fucking kidding me?
I know. Sandy Hook was in 2012.
Did we learn? We learned what?
Nothing. They're babies.
How did this happen? That's what someone has to tell me. No, how was this allowed?
Yeah. Again.
How is this allowed to happen?
Again.
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 And here's the thing. Here's the thing. This affects even you and I. So I don't want anybody to be pissed off. Nowhere near the people who it truly affected and bought it. It touches you and I, even you and
everybody.
I. Everybody. So it has a rippling effect because it affects everyone's life. Everyone who was involved in this, it affects their life from then to
forever.
How are our children supposed to feel safe going to school? I have a daughter who is a teacher, and I have
a daughter
that.
Who's going to be a teacher. Yes.
And let me tell you, I have had that phone call where she is in Grand Junction, Colorado, and I am in Oklahoma at work.
Yeah.
And she calls me and tells me she just needs to tell me she's on lockdown. And she is locked in her classroom with her students. And she doesn't know what's going to happen and what's going on outside that room. But she's got, and that you can never unhear. What happened can never be undone.
No.
And this is this teenager going to truly be get the right,
I am so tired of people
punishment,
saying
justice, treatment.
Didn't they kill him?
Oh yeah, sorry.
So they don't care. Yeah. And they can chalk this up to mental illness, but 99% of people who have mental illness are not violent. So why does this keep happening? And stop saying it's not fucking high powered rifles that no one needs to hunt with. Stop.
Thank you.
Fucking
because
saying it.
When I was in high school, there were so many boys who had racks
in
the
their
back
trucks.
Window of their trucks that had a rifle in each slot. They were loaded. Their windows were rolled down. Their keys half the time were in their truck or the ashtray. So no. We have got to get a hold of what is going on, what is going to happen to our world. But
nobody would grab a single shotgun and walk in and kill one or two people. Or let's say they take all three of them in, they shoot three times, they got to reload. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, but you've got these, you know, high, just like ridiculous. Like you got an AR-15 that you can shoot off 97 fucking rounds in 30 seconds. Who needs to shoot that much ammo? Who? The military? Then why are people, citizens of the United States, why do you need one? Why?
You don't need one.
You
can't hunt anything with that. A deer, even a deer, you're going to blow away. A buffalo, you're not going to want that meat. Come on.
No.
Yes. And don't get me wrong. I am all about freedom.
I have
to
a gun.
Bear arms.
I have a gun.
I bear arms. And trust me, if you try to come in my house when you are not welcome,
mm-hmm.
I am going to shoot to protect, not shoot to maim.
No, you can't. No, because
you.
It's illegal to do that. You have to unload the clip. If you're a threat for your life,
I'm going to blow you away.
I'm going to unload the clip. And I have an extended magazine on my
AR. I'm not going to use an AR-15. I can promise you that.
I got a up close and dirty. If you get that close to me, if you're in my house and you're threatening me that close and it's up close and dirty, I'm gonna go ahead and kill you. I don't want to. I don't want to ever be faced with that.
It will hurt me. It will hurt me that I had to do that to protect my family. That you pushed me to that.
that I had to get to that point.
But.
It's got 17 rounds in a clip. And mine's an extended clip because I got a tiny little handgun. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's meant for protection only, not for mass destruction or military use.
I do want to stop for just a minute and, yes, say that, dang, I do feel bad that, yes, I knew he didn't survive. I forgot just for that minute because I was on that roll. But I did just want to clear that up. I felt kind of bad that...
Yeah, they killed him. Of course they killed him. Of course he killed a bunch of babies. And his grandma, his grandma.
I mean, these are babies.
Listen, I was in grade school and we had two people that drowned at my school when I was in grade school, and they died, and we went to their funerals, and no one in this neighborhood has ever been the same since then. Like, we're freaked out about it raining in the creek, and we still talk about it with people that we know.
Right.
It did something to everybody in, like, it changed the atmosphere. These babies are going to have to go back to that school. Like, my God.
I don't understand. What is going on?
They're 9 years old.
What is going on up here at any point that is the solution, that you go in a school and shoot up a bunch of kids, elementary school kids, right? I mean, come on.
Obviously, there's something you snap to the point. But also, you're talking about an 18-year-old whose freaking frontal lobe of their brain isn't fully formed. They don't have a concept of true mortality until they're 26 to 30. You know, like...
Oh, I don't give a damn.
Most 18-year-olds know right from wrong. People do know right from wrong, and he knew that he was doing wrong, but at the same time, there's so many layers to this, but let me tell you this. Sandy Hook was in 2012. Columbine happened, and we had an assault rifle ban for that. Mm-hmm. And then after that expired, it increased by 250 something fucking percent, and it's just going uphill from there.
Up and up, because something has to be done. Something has to be done. This has to stop. I have grandchildren that I expect to come home every day
after school.
And I cannot imagine what these families, even the families of children that survived, I cannot imagine.
And you know, dropping off kids every day, it's not a...
It's scary enough.
No, just dropping them off is not a picnic. Getting them ready for school and getting them breakfast.
And sometimes you're
just like, oh my God, would you come on? And you were frustrated with them that morning, and that was the last morning you saw them?
I just can't imagine.
Tanja, here's mischief.
That your child not be safe at school.
My whole thing is not be comfortable. Our answer is intruder drills, lockdown drills. We've now made it children's responsibility.
Are you fucking kidding? It is no longer where you just get in the hallway and you put your, you know, and you get, you know, with your arms and you put your head between your knees and your arms over your head. It's not just the stupid tornado drills that you no longer like, you know? Now we have to have intruder
lockdown drills.
Are you kidding me?
That somehow it's children's responsibility to lock themselves in a room or fight,
and keep themselves safe from an intruder.
Because we can't, as grown, and this is the biggest thing to me, is that the majority of people in the United States of America want some kind of increased background check. They're agreeable to it. But because the gun lobby has so much fucking money and PAC money and is reelecting officials, they're all too big of fucking cowards to do anything about it.
Okay. Also, let's be honest here. A background check is only going to show something if you got caught and in trouble for it.
Exactly.
If you haven't been caught yet, or tripped up or been stupid enough that you've been caught and got in trouble, it's not going to show up.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And even if it would, there are so many ways to get guns in this freaking country. Oh, it's unreal. Ridiculous.
And this is the problem. This is where
meth, probably on any corner.
Yeah. And here's
in
the thing,
a 50-mile radius.
Here's the thing that kills me about this is that it is a uniquely American problem. Do you know why? Because America has a unique gun problem. We have no healthcare system that is standardized like all the other major industrialized nations do.
Yes.
And we, which means our healthcare fucking sucks, which means our mental healthcare fucking sucks.
Oh my God, hello. That's why we have people going and blowing up people.
And then we have...
Didn't mean to sound insensitive.
No.
But that's what's happening.
But then again, we also have a gun problem here. And if anybody thinks that that's not the case, then explain to me how come this happens repeatedly in our country and not in other countries.
And not in other countries.
Where they aren't as loose with their fucking guns. So explain to me how there's not a correlation there that is causation when other countries that don't have as much wee-haw, yee-haw, yippee-ki-yay motherfucker with their guns. Mm-hmm. It is a direct link. You cannot make it make sense any fucking other way because the mentally ill population is not this fucking violent. They're just not.
I feel that, you know, people can say, as I've heard, that we are one of the richest countries in the world. But I feel that, okay, that could be true. I've never done the research. So, okay, I'm cool with you, someone saying that. Okay. Yeah. There's a huge possibility that they could be correct. I don't know. But even so, I feel that there are so many countries that must laugh at us.
Yep.
We have to be that, you know, when you're sitting at the bar talking about how you just had a visit to the United States, and man.
We're the Jerry Springer of countries.
What a cesspool Jerry Springer show the United States of America is.
You know when this now, happened. Can, you know when can this I, happened.
Can I be censored or blocked for saying that the United States is a shithole of a cesspool country now?
You look at it and it's like, we used to be number one. We're not anymore. Not unless you want to talk about incarcerated people per capita, the number of people who believe in that angels are real, and the number of people that own guns. In our defense.
In the number of incarcerated people, Oklahoma is like high up in the ranking. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Oklahomans, can you not? But it's not just Oklahomans in Oklahoman prisons. It's, come on, there are prisons in other states. I had my stepfather had a son from a previous marriage, and he spent his life in prison. He did just get his portion of the inheritance. I should blast his name so everybody should go invite themselves to a party that I'm sure he's having in Trenton, Missouri. Half of his name is like the Jerry Springer show. The other half is my mother's married name when she passed away, which was Marcia Ann Urich. So enjoy that party. There's one to you. Jerry, oops, did I say his name? I don't even know where I was going there.
Other countries, these things happen.
I know what I was saying.
Yeah.
While he was spending his life in prison, he jumped around and he was at different prisons. And I know he was in a prison in another state. So I'm sure that there are people in prison in Oklahoma who actually might be from somewhere else, lived somewhere else. You know what I mean? And they're just doing their sentence here for whatever reason. Who knows?
Right.
But yeah, can we, could we not get it right? I mean, come on.
You know, we want to talk about how precious.
I don't know what you're eating, but it's making me want these. Oh, see, I can't chew gum because I have partials. I hope these sour cherries don't stain my teeth, even though the dentist said they wouldn't. That I could eat or drink anything I wanted right after he was done, even though I was scared and I checked them constantly. But my girlfriend in Kansas City, Karen Harris, when we get together, which it's been a while since I've been to Kansas City just to have a girls' weekend with her. We love to sit around and watch movies and eat junk food. And part of our junk food is the orange wedges. And
sour cherries.
Sometimes it's hard to find good ones. The ones at the dollar store are the best in the packages where I'm going to slobber on myself. and it's going to look funky because it's going to be red. And I'm up against these pearly whites. Wow. That's going to be something. The ones at Dollar General where you can buy them two for a dollar, you know, in the packs. Now it may be two for $1.50. I don't know. Anyway, found these on the road at one of those turnpike little stop and fill yourself up, whether it be gas, food, drink, or empty yourself.
Right.
Either one or two ways.
Three, whatever.
I didn't even think of that one. Of course, I was traveling with kids. That'll let you wonder. And they are so good. That, man, they are sour and they are delish, but I can only eat so many because then it's like, okay, stop, you know?
Yeah, make it end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're so good.
Well, we're not going to, I'm tired of hearing, on the heels of this Roe v. Wade potentially being overturned and everybody on this bandwagon about the
what
fucking.
What was that you sent me?
The fucking sanctity of life and all of that bullshit, right? On the heels of that. On the heels of that.
I'm so pissed off. I'm so pissed off. You'd be damned. Do you know that if I came up pregnant and I felt that the choice for me was to have an abortion, guess what? I'm going to be going to prison because I'm going to be charged with murder because I'm going to make the choice for my body. But just so everyone knows, I'm 52. My tubes have been tied for 31 years. Please, dear Lord, don't bind a detour for that highway, please.
No. I'm just saying, we've heard all about how these fetuses are babies and we need to take care of these babies. And then we had how many babies that didn't come home from school because we can't take care of actual fucking babies.
Thank you. Amen. Preach it, sister. Say that again. Say it one more time. I want to make sure we offend someone tonight. Do it.
Okay. So everybody's talking about the sanctity of human life in these fetuses because we have their babies and we have to take care of babies. And then how many babies did not come home last week because we aren't taking care of actual fucking babies? They were really babies. They were just 9 years old. My fucking God. And their classmates and their classmates' family members and the fucking
and their
parents.
Teachers.
Oh, Jesus. And the nurses that got those babies that tried to save them? No. Just fucking
that is why,
no.
That is why I was never
a paramedic or an EMT. That is why I do not work and have not, only for a very short time, in the ER, because you do not know what is coming through those doors in that ER until they are through it and you are in it. Same thing with pulling up in an ambulance or a fire truck. You don't know whose house you're pulling up to and who it is. And no. We should be ashamed.
We should be.
And we should all be so fucking disgusted and outraged. We are beating down our governors, our president, whoever's door
to do something.
Just start a riot. Whatever. Good. This is a riot that I think is a worthy cause.
Yes.
Let's start a riot on turning this around. Not for us, because, okay, obviously we're all too ignorant. But what about our babies? And by our babies, I mean our babies, our nation's
children.
Babies. Our children are our world. They are our future.
These parents.
And yes.
These parents.
Come on.
These parents.
Wake up.
For the next 9 years, have to watch the classmates' Facebook pages at every birthday and think, my baby's never going to be that. They're going to, in 11 years, they're going to watch that class graduate and think, my baby should be doing that.
Knowing that their child is not there. That we should be disgusted and appalled, and we should not.
It's ridiculous.
Settle for anything other than a fucking change in our gun controls. I'm not saying stop it, because I want the right to buy another gun, and I want the right to, yes, bear arms. But I don't need to hunt if I decide to.
With an AR-15!
Or go out for gun practice anywhere other than a gun range with an AR-15.
No American citizen needs to. The military,
I know,
they have their own gun range.
You shouldn't be able to do it at a gun range either.
No, there's no reason.
There's no need. There's no need. The common person does not need that kind of assault rifle.
No, you want a well-armed militia? We have the National fucking Guard. They can have them. They're part of the military. Let them fucking have them.
I didn't even want my son, when he was in the military, to shoot an AR-15.
I mean, seriously, for
you
fuck's sake.
You poor little
sake.
Honey.
Just
God,
for
I'm
fuck's
so glad
sake.
He doesn't. I'm so glad my son doesn't listen. He would say, good God, Mom, stop.
Well, we're not going to solve
it. I did.
We're not going
to
solve it.
I wanted to be a cook, not a scout, not a sniper, not frontline gunner.
Mm-hmm. Here we are, though. Okay, let's shift. Yeah. What are you listening to?
My husband talk about fucking houses.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm listening to.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the radio. What else am I listening to?
Sorry for smacking my gum in you guys' ears, but I...
Oh, I am not sorry, because those sour cherries, my God, they were delish. They surely were. And no, look.
They didn't stain them at all. They still pearly white.
I'm practicing on smiling. Matter of fact, I am going to be honest, and at work, when we're all comfortable... And yes, ha ha ha, we pull our masks down. I pull my mask down, even if I am comfortable with it on, because, oh, Lord, how could you, I mean, at this point.
At this point, you're comfortable. Yeah.
It's an accessory no matter what.
Yeah.
Since Thursday, which, okay, was half of Thursday and all of Friday, every chance I got,
Yep.
I didn't say,
smiling with them pearlies.
Are you blinded yet? Oh, I think you're a little more tan now. So I'm learning, I'm trying to practice, and I've already noticed. Oh, sorry, what just happened?
I don't know, you're still there.
There you went. I'm working on my smile because I feel like horse teeth.
They're not.
I'm working on my smile because while my teeth have been discolored most of my life from the water from where I grew up, as well as being given tetracycline as a child who had a lot of stomach problems, one of the side effects of tetracycline and the fluoride in the water and things, guess what? Discolors your teeth. And both of those together was a double. So I didn't smile to where I showed my teeth a lot.
Yep.
Because I never really liked my teeth. So I had my teeth done a while back and had them whitened and some work done where some were fixed. But some of the like epoxy that was used, like some of the bonding stuff, didn't stick to my tooth, even though, no, don't think I'm saying veneers, because honey,
those are real. Yeah,
those are real, those are mine. At least those ones are. It didn't stick, and it actually cracked, kind of like when you have shattered glass.
Right.
That's what it was like on my tooth, and you couldn't really see it unless you got really, really close, but I could feel it. And at one of my appointments, my dentist noticed it, and he was like, no, you're right. That's not right. That's not how it's supposed to be. So he took it as a failure, or not a failure, that's a wrong word, but that the product failed, not him, the product failed. And so he was going to redo it, no cost to me.
I love
except
it.
For the, no, except for the 5 hours of gas that I used.
Yeah.
that shit is awesome. Don't worry. They make me sniff the oxygen afterwards, too. So I'm fine to drive and I don't have a headache and blah, blah, blah. They take very good care of me and everyone else that is their patient. And that is at OKC Dentistry Associates of Oklahoma City. They are off of MacArthur and Northwest Expressway. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm very, very proud. I've waited a very long time to be satisfied with my teeth. I'm actually working on me this year.
Good.
I'm getting way, way more loving me and my inside. Now I'm working on some of the outside things that I've never been able to really address for many reasons, for a variety of reasons. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to my appointment, even though it's not till August 1st, with the first surgeon. The second surgeon's appointment isn't until January.
Good God.
The middle of January. But yeah, that's even for a consultation. That second surgeon, which was really the first one, but they had to call me back because they were in, that was their surgery day. And so they were in between patients, but thank goodness they're quick on turnaround phone call, return calls. I don't know how to take that. But anyway, booked up until then, even for a consultation. So I don't know, is that good or bad? So my second choice had the sooner availability, but the physician that referred the second and first choice, my second choice was there first. So we'll see what happens, but I'm so looking forward to my next procedure. We'll see.
Yep.
How
that goes.
How it fares, and which surgeon I feel I mesh with the most.
Yeah.
Here's a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Who do you think would have better expertise if it mattered by gender? A female plastic surgeon who was going to do breast implants and eyes, or a man?
It wouldn't matter.
Who's more in tone to a woman's?
Well, of course a woman would be more in tune, but...
You think?
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they aren't. Men are very attentive to their craft in that area, too.
Thank you. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. And they might be more particular...
About how it looked. They're more visual anyway.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. Really, it would just be about looking at the reviews that they had. And
about the talent, really, because talent is not gender specific.
No, it is not. Especially in that line of work, too. So
yeah.
I have been listening to way too much fucking TV. I'm so sick of it.
Oh, my God. I bet so.
I don't do well, you know. Because I could only walk so far, and then I'm back in the house, and then I'm in the house, and it's not like I can do a whole bunch of stuff in the house, because I can't
do... Yeah, because you can't even drive.
I can't drive. I can't lift anything, push or pull anything greater than 10 pounds, which is nothing.
God, that's annoying.
Yeah, yes. So I've been sort of just... I've started reading a book Jack the Ripper... still trying to get through. I love that case so much. It's you know, he didn't kill that many people, but it's such a notorious case. One of my walks, I listened to some of True Crime Garage. I'm of course behind on all that stuff, but I'll get caught up.
Oh damn it, there was someone that one of my patients wanted me to listen to, and I said I would not forget that name. It was something Wood.
I don't know.
Wanted my take on it.
Huh. Westwood?
Natalie.
Oh, the Natalie Wood case. Okay.
No. This person is a real alive person right now.
Oh,
she.
Okay.
She, oh, dang it, I'm going to have to ask him, because he just asked me, did you listen to that? Did you do your homework? And I was like, no.
Sorry. So I've watched on Netflix a lot of fucking Netflix. The Movies That Made Us, which is a series, and it goes through a bunch of old movies. And then we got to Ghostbusters, and Jordan was like, we have to watch Ghostbusters right now. And I'm like, of course we do.
That's one of my oldest grandson's favorite movies.
Yeah, Jordan loves it. It's his favorite. Uh-huh. It's one of my favorites. I mean, how can you not like fucking
Ghostbusters?
We did well. Yeah.
And I'm talking the original. Not any kind of remake.
No.
Ghostbusters.
No,
you cannot.
You can't recreate that
some
magic.
Movies you cannot.
Don't fuck with perfection.
No,
just don't fuck with perfection.
Exactly. Leave it the fuck alone.
And you know, it's funny because you look at that first scene and Bill Murray is very creepy now in that scene.
Yes.
And I'm like,
and
what a creepy jerk.
To see how young.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah. They are. But anyway, it's still a great movie. Creep factor and all. But I watched court cases tried on TV or something like that. And it went through a bunch of court cases. And then I've watched some Outlander and, you know, it's just been one of those where I'm just like, oh, my God, just fucking turn the TV off and read a book and make stop.
Pull the cable out.
Yeah, I just I'm just not a big TV watcher, you know, anyway. Mm-hmm. I like my sports and I like certain things and I like movies and documentaries. But there's not a lot. That I haven't already seen, you know, as far as documentaries are concerned. And then, so I was just like, this sucks. So if anybody has recommendations of stuff I can watch, I got another week of this. So anyway, that's about it. Anything else you have?
No.
All right. No, see y'all in the stacks. Yeah. See you in the stacks next week, y'all.
See you next week.
I want to take a minute to thank you for listening, sharing, and engaging with us, subscribing, and following our social media pages.
Your feedback is invaluable to us. It helps us to know the stories and chapters to seek out. It helps to make us better, and we can't tell you how much that means to us.
You can find links to all of our social media pages and everywhere we can be streamed on our Flow page.
That's www.flow.page/notinthetextbookspodcast.
If you have a second, please go to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us.
5-star, please.
It really does help out the show. Remember, we're in the middle of figuring out the crazy stories of our lives, so create a little kindness.
Show some love and compassion, and if you can't because your chapter is just too hard right now, we're here for you and we're rooting for you, so
just keep going.
We hope to see you back here in the stacks digging up some stories and chapters for next week.